You know, as I looked at checktheevidence.com, you need to bookmark this, okay? And go to checktheevidence.com and click on the section where it says chemtrails and climate. And you're going to find a wealth of information, research that my guest Andrew Johnson has done. And by the way, I went to EasyJet. So EasyJet UK flights, 5th of March 2010, trail and no trail. And he actually shows a copy of the letter that he forwarded to EasyJet Air Traffic Inquiry, or regarding EasyJet Air Traffic Inquiry. And did you ever receive, you've never received a response back at all, is that correct?
No, basically what I did was I did it two ways. I sent them it all by post. So I sent them a DVD with all the video on that and said, you know, what's going on, basically, can you tell me, please? No response came back. And I then found my way onto the website and I thought, well, I'll try. I couldn't initially find an email. You know, you go into something and then you look and look and look and you can't find it and you get bored and you go off and do something else. And then I think a week later I went back again. I thought, well, I'll have another look, and I found a link. And I sent a message to them by their customer service system or something. And they just said, oh, you know, it came back a day or two later and said, oh, we can't answer your operational query, you know. Great, you know, so they would not answer my, didn't try and even refer to me, anyone, you know, or why don't you, ask a university or something, didn't even bother to do that, you know, so.
I apologize, but I am unable to answer your operational query.
That's what they said, yeah.
Yeah, that if you wish to talk to one of our representatives, our customer experience team is available under the following telephone numbers. So please call any one of these telephone numbers. Have a good day. Ms. Jacqueline Kenny. Customer service representative.
Right.
Thank you much for nothing.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Yep. All right.
I haven't had any follow-up to that. Again, perhaps I could have followed it up more. I'm actually not very good at doing that sometimes, because I think when I'm not very persistent with things like that, because I tend to sort of go off on something else. But nobody else has actually followed up on that I'm aware of. And this is what you get. You know, I have written to Civil Aviation Authority, the Department of Environment. I've got another PDF file on the website there from, I think, 2007, where I had a ding-dong with the Department of Transport over the issue. And they actually referred me to a scientific paper called The Formation of Contrails or something by a German professor of atmospheric physics, Ulrich Schumann. And it's a 26-page paper. I think I linked to it on my website. And it's meant to explain how these contrails persist. And I actually read this. I think it's about 20 pages and then 6 pages of references. And it's just bogus. You know, it doesn't really explain anything. And it contradicts itself as well, in my opinion. So I wrote to this Ulrich Schumann and I asked him a few questions. You know, in a nice way. I didn't criticize him or anything, but he didn't write back. I know he's had some email from other people as well, so there weren't any answers. This paper did not say, basically what I wanted an answer to was the simple question, you know, why some trails persist and why some don't persist. You know, what are the conditions under which that happens? If we're just talking about, you know, because the standard explanation is there is no spraying going on, there are no clandestine flights, there's basically nothing except ordinary kerosene being burned in the atmosphere and creating, you know, clouds of water vapor. That is the official line, and they will not depart from that at all. Obviously, they can't, because if they admitted to some type of spraying program of any kind, or, you know, we should come on to this as well, that the trails are being caused by some other unacknowledged process, which isn't necessarily spraying, which we'll come on to in perhaps a minute, then once they admit that, then it means we don't live in a democracy. We don't have any control about what's going on in the sky. Once any official body admits that, then we're sunk, you know. It makes a lot of this talk about protecting the environment and whatnot meaningless. So they can't.
It's just because they haven't admitted it doesn't mean that it's not true. We don't live in a democracy per se. Yeah.
Right. And I mean, there's another researcher called Cliff Carnicom, who's been doing a lot of research since about 1999. He's got, I think, if his website's still going, carnicom.com. There's quite a lot of scientific papers on there. And you know, he wrote to the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, several times, sent them samples which they refused to analyze, which he says that he picked up. And they said, they wrote back to him and said, the EPA is not aware of any spraying program in existence. So that was somewhat interesting wording. They didn't.
Interesting wording, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, you know, again, people can go and look at that website. I put that in a little report I did in 2007. I sort of highlighted that. And then there was some other lady who wrote to the, I forget her name. She wrote to the US Air Force and asked about the issue. And they basically said, oh, it's just a conspiracy theory, which has been going around on the internet. And again, the wording of that letter is quite interesting. Now,
I'm laughing. It's just so funny how they can just brush people off.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is it. This is what you're up against. You're up against this invisible system. This, you know, some people call it the secret government, the black ops, various names. You know, we've mentioned it before in relation to 9/11. Mm-hmm. But there is something secret going on, which they are not disclosing. Mm-hmm. My current feeling with the issue is that what a lot of these issues are revolving around is hidden technology, because, you know, as we've talked about great length with Dr. Judy, what happened at the World Trade Center comes down to, at least, you know, a good chunk of it, secret technology. And I think that's what's at work in part within the chemtrail issue. One of the things that I'd like to mention as a possibility, but I don't know if it how much of the evidence it explains, is that we seem to have been seeing more trails in the last, since about 1997, this seemed to have started. Now, a lot of people immediately jump and say, you know, and I've put this in one of the documents I've written, that was 1997 was roughly the sort of timetable when HAARP started, the High Altitude Auroral Research Project. And that's based in Gakona, Alaska. It's called an ionospheric heater. And some people are claiming that it's doing all kinds of things. It's used for mind control. It's used for weather control. It's used to create earthquakes. These are various claims. The only thing we actually know is we know what we're told about it. We're told it's an ionospheric heater. We're told that it heats up the ionosphere so that the ionosphere will be raised up, and then that will disrupt communications which bounce off the ionosphere. And some have claimed that it can even divert the jet stream, which, from my understanding of the physics, it might be capable of doing that. I don't know. People tend to get HAARP confused with Tesla weapons and this sort of thing. It's not a Tesla weapon. HAARP was actually developed from a patent by a physicist called Bernard Eastland, who passed away, I think, last year sometime. So, you know, people can read about that. But what may be going on with the chemtrails issue is that the atmosphere, I think, you know, if we go to 9/11 and look at what happened with Hurricane Erin, it would appear that hurricane was somehow manipulated with something. Something was done to it. We don't know exactly what, but something was done to it. And so I would present to people that there is this secret geoengineering technology. My own best guess at the moment is it's based on something that Wilhelm Reich developed in the 60s, which is to do with orgone energy. And you can find these cloud busters and so on.
What is it called? Orgone?
Orgone, yeah. O-R-G-O-N-E.
Okay.
Orgone energy. And, you know, Reich's a very interesting sort of story to research into. The Kate Bush song Cloud Busting is actually about the book written by Wilhelm Reich's son, Peter Reich. He wrote a book called Book of Dreams. And you can find a PDF file of that if you look on the internet. It's kicking around on the internet. But basically, Wilhelm Reich discovered this form of energy called orgone, and he developed technology to manipulate this energy. And I won't go into that in great depth here, but I've talked about this in a couple of presentations that I've done. There's people who are much better experts than I am on the Reich
technology. Just to give you an indication of time here, we have 15 minutes left. So if we could. Yeah, no, thank you. Very, very fascinating. presentation, Andrew, and I'm glad I brought you on, but go ahead.
Okay, right, thanks. So, yeah, so what we can imagine, looking, for example, at some of the data from 9/11 and other storms that appear to have done strange things, is that there is some external system, and I'll leave it at that. I don't think it's HAARP, because HAARP is a public facility. You know, you can drive up to it, you can drive up to the gate, you can peer through the fence. I think they even have guided tours of parts of it on certain days. You know, or you'll probably be able to, if you really pushed hard, you could probably get in there if you knew the right people and so forth. But if we imagine we've got some type of technology which is able to influence the atmosphere in some way with some type of energy input, or even drawing out energy from the atmosphere in some way, we could be seeing that these trails are appearing on the days when this technology is being applied to our part of the atmosphere. We could be seeing more trails on those days. Now, that only explains part of the picture, because for the grids and stuff, and I've got pictures of planes flying in circles, then we definitely know that these planes are flying in specific patterns. So that doesn't explain the anomalous paths that some of these planes are taking.
That's very fascinating. And we're going to come back from this break and continue our discussion with Andrew Johnson, talking about chemtrails. And I love the discussion about HAARP and what secret technology exists to extract energy from the ionosphere. Love that. We'll be right back. Okay, we're back with Andrew Johnson. His website is checktheevidence.com. That's important for me to get that out, because you'll find a wealth of information on his website. He actually has conducted a lot of research to satisfy your own curiosity, Andrew, pretty much to answer the questions yourself and really stay away from those conspiracy theories that are out there. But you've done some pretty extensive research on your own, and you've collected a lot of stuff. For instance, during the break, we were talking about whether or not you believe in climate change, because I'm just thinking through this, like, why would they ever want to do this? Well, there's their problems with the ozone. Maybe they're trying to mask over that and prevent some of these changes that are occurring to our atmosphere. But you don't necessarily believe in climate change. I believe that they're using it as a means to tax us, to assess carbon taxes and create their little new currency, you know.
Right. Well, I mean, again, the climate change issue is a very complicated one. And I've got a document which I sort of put together. I was sort of gathering a lot of information on that. It's called Reinvestigating Climate Change. Because one of the things that comes up is that if you look at some of the astronomical data, which climatologists don't always do, all the planets in the solar system have been undergoing change in the last 30 years, as documented by, you know, the Voyager probes, you know, and the various probes that have got, the Galileo probe that went to Jupiter. So, you know, there's a lot of data that you can pull in from different sources. And then you've got what's called, for example, the Climate Gate scam, where we had these 10 years of emails which were leaked onto the internet in 2009, where they're massaging data to prove that the, you know, CO2 levels has affected the temperature. It's bogus. The hockey stick graph, which I think was in the Al Gore film, it's bogus. You can get that algorithm, put random data into it, and the hockey stick shape will still come out. So what we've seen is a scientific agenda has been formed around the CO2 issue. That's now been aided and abetted by the environmental movement, saying we need to cut down on fossil fuel emissions. And we therefore now set policy based on taxing people, as you said, based on the amount of fuel that they burn. And that's all in place now. I mean, I can go onto the UPS website, book a parcel delivery, and there's a little bullet that I can click on that says offset the carbon emissions, and you pay an extra $2 or whatever it is for your parcel, because it offsets the carbon emissions. It's just, you know, supposedly from science, then into psychology, then into policy, then into taxes. And one of the other things which has come into the public vocabulary in about the last 4 years is the word geoengineering, and I've watched this happen. You know, I went to another report I've got on the website. I went to this public meeting at the Royal Society in London. The Royal Society is the oldest scientific society in the world. One of the early members was Sir Isaac Newton, who came up with the equations for the law of gravity in the 1600s. I went to a meeting there, and it was called, in 2009 this was, it was called Geoengineering taking control of our planet's climate. And it's all about proposals. Somebody was typing in our Skype chat window there. It's all about proposals for spraying things into the atmosphere to reduce the temperature, that you know, the increase in temperature caused by sunlight. It's called solar radiation management, SRM. I mentioned this in that reinvestigating climate change document. All of the research on this on these 2 days were based on the understanding that basically the world is heating up and we need to cool it down. So to cool it down, we need to reflect more sunlight into space, and we, you know, put in solar radiation management strategies. And it was all about that, all of it. So this is a form of geoengineering. And one of the proposals, funnily enough, and this is where it does get strange, from David Keith, is that we can put into the atmosphere barium and aluminium compounds, which will then reflect a proportion of the sunlight and therefore, in theory, cool the planet. Now, the toxic effects of that, according to David Keith, are going to be minimal. But isn't it odd that we have these proposals for geoengineering discussing the use of these compounds? And I'm still not sure about these claims, but there are a number of people claiming that they've sampled rainwater and it has elevated levels of barium and aluminium in it. Now, I'm pretty sure that within that claim there is some disinformation, but I still don't want to say that it's all, you know, it's all false, because I certainly can't prove that. We've got a chap called Francis Mangles who's in California, and he's been quite vocal in various films like What in the World Are They Spraying and Why in the World Are They Spraying, and he claims that his garden, the pH has gone very much more I think it's changed quite a bit. I can't remember who says it's gone alkaline. I think it's gone more acidic, and he says that all his garden vegetables have died, but and his tomatoes have all died. But then somebody on a forum was looking at the tomato production figures in California over the last few years, and they've actually gone up. You know, they haven't gone down. His is the only one in his area that's gone down. You know, so I listened to this guy, and I just got a bad feeling from listening to him. Basically, after a while, I believed him at first, but. Then it's one of these things. You know what it's like.
So Andrew, in the remaining moments here, I want to make sure that we get this out. So obviously a great source of information is checktheevidence.com. But what are the best sources of information that people can go find more about chemtrails? And factual evidence, not disinformation, of course, because there's a lot of that.
Well, I mean, I think there's some pretty good stuff on Cliff Carnicom's site. He has some scientific papers on there, which I think are worthy of inspection. Carnicom.com is one. I think that's – I'm pretty sure that's still going. He's got the Carnicom Institute now. It's worth watching a couple of films on YouTube. One is called Don't Talk About the Weather. You can watch that. And there's another one called, I mentioned it, What in the World Are They Spraying? That's quite interesting. But the Why in the World Are They Spraying is, I think that's, I don't know, they just, I had a funny feeling about that. But you can watch those three films. That'll give you, I think, some useful information. Some of it needs sorting through a bit. But, those are quite useful sources of information.
So what I've learned from you is, very clearly that there's just so much malarkey out there that it's best to just do your own research and believe what you've researched on your own. And of course, you know, seek the advice from people like you that have already done your fact checking yourself. But most of it is just so secretive that we don't really know why or how they're doing what they're doing, right?
Yeah, pretty much. And I mean, I'd encourage people to make their own observations as much as they can. And try and get into that. We did get a question pop up in the Skype window. I don't know if you want to address that.
Yes, please do. And we have just a few seconds, about 20 seconds left.
Yeah, I've seen the black trails. So what we're seeing is like shadow trails, which appear at strange angles in the sky. I don't know what those are. It does look like sometimes these trails are made, black lines, and the planes follow them. And that's what it looks like, but I haven't done enough investigation into that to pin it down. I really don't know what those are, but they are definitely real.
Andrew Johnson, thank you so much for coming on the show. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, checktheevidence.com. Great source of information. Look on the right-hand side, chemtrails and climate. And by the way, we're going to add your website links to GorillaMediaNetwork.com. It's a great site, by the way, Andrew. We're going to provide all the links for all of our listeners if they want to know more information about the stuff you're looking into. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back with the Bunker News Break coming up. right after this message.